It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, chapter 3, and we've got down to the 11th verse. We're going to be talking about baptized you with water unto repentance, and so I hope that you're able to join us this morning. Matthew, chapter 3, verse 11. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'm so glad that you've joined us today, and if you'd like to contact us, you'll find us at the address here at the church is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Again, that's our mailing address. It is 18th and Church Street as far as the location of the church is concerned, and that was P.O. Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341 to send us a mail. I'd love to receive it from you. 217-847-2717 is our phone number here, 217-847-2717. And if you'd like to check our website out, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one would work just fine. So glad to have you today. You've joined us. And so now we'll begin the reading of the Scripture and then start with prayer and begin the study. And so Matthew chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoe I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the granary, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighted upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What beautiful scriptures. Please, let's go to the Lord now in prayer and ask him to bless the study. Father, just guide and lead us today through your precious word. Show us exactly, Father, just exactly what we need to learn, each one of us. And as we know, it's your living word, and so what applies to my heart and what you show me could be something much different than what, Father, the folks that are listening will hear and see too, because it's to our own heart, applied to our own heart. So, Father, please, that you would just direct us each and every day, guide us through your word, bring those that are lost to salvation. Those that are saved, draw them closer to you, that they will walk with you each and every day, serve you, dear Father. Please, just guide and lead us, Father, in the way that will please you. So we ask for your blessing. We ask that you'll guide us, Father. And so please, now just speak to our hearts. Bless us, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. We begin here with a wonderful study, a wonderful thought and searching of the Scripture concerning baptism. I'm glad that you've joined us today for the study. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Let's go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 5, because this wonderful statement and things that are about to come here, John's just about to baptize the Lord Jesus, and so we're going to enjoy this study, take a good look at it. And so, if we come back here to Acts chapter 1, verse 5, Acts chapter 1, verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And then he continues to say, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his power. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. We just need to know the Lord Jesus is in control. And the time, this baptism here that he's talking about here in this fifth verse, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall soon be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And that is that the Holy Spirit, we're talking about Pentecost here. We have another verse of Scripture, chapter 2, verse 4. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so as we enjoy these Scriptures, that is referring to Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, our Lord Jesus was baptized with water. We also have a little statement here at the end of that verse of Scripture, and it says, fire, I am not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, we've got an opportunity of salvation, and we need to realize that this does not mean that the baptism of the Holy Spirit replaces the water baptism, because it does not. So the day that we meet Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live within our hearts. What a joy. What an opportunity that is. And it begins then to give you wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And we are allowed to and able to produce fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Those things, what keeps us serving the Lord. It keeps us in the humble state of service that we should be in. And without the Lord Jesus, without the Holy Spirit, and so many folks that say they're Christian and go to church and all those things, never ever come by faith to Jesus. And so they live a lie, literally, thinking that they are Christians, thinking they're living each day pleasing the Lord, but they have rejected the only opportunity, the gift of salvation. And so we know that when it looks here at this Scripture verse, and so in Acts there 1:5 and 2:4, we know that it's speaking of Pentecost, but again, that does not take away from the baptism that the Lord Jesus wants us and each one of us to have. We know that the Jesus is God. He is fully God and fully man. And so when we see that, when we know that, and yet he follows here in baptism, in a water baptism, and we're going to discuss what that means here in a few minutes. But the fire that we have in reference here, I am not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There's going to be, and it seems to be, that eternal punishment of the unsaved is what we're talking about. And when we move down to verse 12, it seems to confirm that. You know, when at Pentecost they had the cloven tongues, you know, and you would think maybe that's what it's talking about there. And I would agree with you, except for verse 12. Look at what verse 12 says. Whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor, gather his wheat into the granary or garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So you see, if we divide, and I believe rightly, divide the word in verse 11, we're looking at those that have come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be baptized with the Holy Spirit is to be immersed with the Holy Spirit, to receive the Holy Spirit as our Savior. But those that reject, he too will judge, and they will be judged by fire. Now, our works are judged by fire. And if it wasn't for verse 12, I would say it could be talking about our works. It could be talking about what took place at Pentecost, which we've just looked at here in the book of Acts. But let's look again at verse 12. Whose fan is in his hand, thoroughly purge his floor. So he's going to clean house. He's going to divide it. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now the wheat, he's going to gather it up and bring it home. There's going to be a dividing there, but there's going to be a judgment there. Now these two things are separated by many years, because when he comes to get his church at the end of the church age of grace, the time of grace, that's what we're in right now, and that will come, could come instantly. It could come right now. It could come to an end. And at that time, he will come. He's not going to plant his feet upon the earth. He's going to meet us in the air. He's going to call. Trump's going to sound. His voice is going to call. And we're going to come, those that have died in the Lord Jesus Christ, their graves will be opened. And those of us that are here that are alive will meet him in the air. And we're going to be forever with the Lord. What a joy. So you see, that wheat's going to be gathered. And then there's going to be a little time before this unquenchable fire is going to come. Because there's going to be a 7 years of tribulation. And at the end of that tribulation period, there's going to be a judgment time. And so we could look at that as this here. But the real fire, the lake of fire, will not come for another 1,000 years. Because they're in the place of torment until the final judgment. And so we have the church age right now. When it comes to an end, then we know there is a 7 years of tribulation that's going to be here on earth. At the close of that, there's a 1,000-year reign of Christ. At the close of that is when the actual judgment will take place. All those that are alive, those that are dead, that have rejected the Lord Jesus, there will be judgment, and that will come, burn up with unquenchable fire. Now, don't think for a second that that means annihilation, because it is not. You will be physically in the lake of fire for eternity with no pain medicine, and if you die of cancer, your pain is going to be in excess. And the only reason you've got to face that is because you rejected the only opportunity. You rejected Jesus Christ. That's what you did. Please don't do that. Trust in the Lord Jesus as and for your Savior. And again, this does not mean that baptism of the Holy Spirit replaced water baptism, because it has not. So we have really covered here verse 11 and verse 12, which to come, but the Lord just takes this opportunity to tell of the baptism that's to come, and that is the opportunity. In other words, right here, we're really dealing with water baptism, but there is another baptism John tells us about by the leadership of the Holy Spirit concerning being baptized in the Spirit, immersed in the Spirit. And let's go to the end of Matthew here, because we are given the great commission here. And so in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, we are told in verse 18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So we look at this, we find baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That is water baptism. We are baptized in the Spirit, The Holy Spirit comes and lives within our heart, brings us, shows us everything about our Lord and Savior that we need, and for that day, and then He fills us again the next day, and we have all the Holy Spirit, but as far as His direction and His leadership and His power, we are given that on a daily basis as He sees fit. And so this baptism here that's in the Great Commission is talking about a water baptism. So back here in verse 11, he is talking about the baptized of the Holy Spirit. We're immersed. It's wonderful. But there also is the example of the water baptism. Baptism means immersion in water. We have in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's talking about water baptism, being immersed. And it says, unto repentance. Now, that's kind of a neat statement there in verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Now, that doesn't mean that when you're baptized and you have that experience of baptism that you should have, that doesn't mean that that's going to give you that washes away your sin. Some believe that's the reason that we're required to be baptized. Well, we are. It is necessary that we follow the Lord in baptism, but it is not for any reason other than to show what's taken place in our hearts, not for salvation. We possess salvation the day we trust in the Lord Jesus as our Savior. But unto repentance here means baptized, pointing to repentance already past. So you have already repented. You've already turned. And now we're being baptized. We're following through with this baptism. So I'm going to read that for you again. Unto repentance means baptized, the baptism pointing to repentance already past. You've already taken care of that. You've already followed the Lord in repentance. You have turned unto Him. Now, we come down and we see the judgment in verse 12, and now we come to verse 13. It says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Jesus came all the way from Nazareth up in Galilee to the river Jordan, not far from Jerusalem. He walked. That trip is about 90 miles. He came for one purpose, for John the Baptist to baptize him. It's that important to follow the Lord in baptism after our salvation. The Lord Jesus here is coming to give an example. And that example is, here's who I am. I am coming to be baptized. I'm coming to live, die, be buried, and raised again. And so right there, risen again, all those things are here presented to us in baptism. So we find that baptism to our Lord and Savior is very important. Baptism does not save. Understand that. Jesus did not need any saving. He is saved. He gave us the example of what we need to do after we're saved. He has acted as our example. He has shown us that way. And every born again believer, Christian, should be baptized. If you'll notice here, as we look at these verses of Scripture, there was a discussion that went on. He cometh, Jesus, from Galilee, Jordan, unto John to be baptized. That was his purpose of coming. Well, John had a problem with that. John said, wait a minute here. I want you to baptize me. I don't know, Lord. I can't baptize you. John the Baptist knew exactly who this was. He was God. He was the Messiah. And, Lord, no. I have need to be baptized of thee. And you come to me and want to be baptized? And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. In other words, he came asking, yes, it's so. Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, when we have this word in here, in this wonderful scripture, we realize that it's talking and giving us a beautiful example of what we need to do. And so, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. It didn't say for me to fulfill all righteousness. He said for us. And we could make that very personal, and I know that there is one very godly man wrote in his Bible next to that, Jesus and me. Jesus and me. It is a righteous act of obedience for a Christian to be baptized as Jesus was baptized. It is a righteous act of obedience. There is no righteousness given us to be baptized. We receive all of the righteousness of God the day we trust Him as our Savior. But it is a righteous act. It's the right thing to do, to testify of what's happened in our hearts when we trusted in Jesus, when we asked Him to come into our heart and save us. When that took place, we need to testify, and that's what this is. We testify with our life, and God has given us this opportunity here to testify through this act of baptism. Baptism. This was performed in the Jordan. And as we read this, Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Immersion. Immersion. Jesus was immersed in the river Jordan. Where did we ever come up with the sprinkling? Where did that come from? Does that go all the way back to Catholicism? If your church baptizes by sprinkling, and then above that, a child, a baby, are you putting so much importance in the baptism that you believe that's possibly when the Holy Spirit comes to live within the heart? The Word of God does not teach that. Baptism is an example of what's taken place in your heart, not something that takes place in your heart because of baptism. It's because you are born again. You've come by faith to the Lord Jesus. But this sprinkling is very common in almost all of your mainline denominations. And it has no purpose. It means nothing. And I've heard folks that I've asked this about, and they say, well, it's not really baptism, it's dedication. I said, so then you baptize later when the person is truly saved. No. So it's baptism. It's baptism. And it is totally contrary to the Word of God. Why do you want to do something that is contrary to the Word of God? Some places even do both. They sprinkle or they immerse. That's as foolish as sprinkling. Don't sit on the fence. Make your mind up. You going to follow the Word of God or not? And so here we find the Lord Jesus himself giving us the example of immersion. And the reason for it, it's a great reason, because that gives us such a wonderful picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Sprinkling can't do that. Sprinkling has no power. Baptism, has to do that to a child, is of no value. To do that to an adult has no value. Immersion, it comes after you trust in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. You invite Him into your heart. It's so important that you trust in Jesus, that you look to Him, that you accept Him as your Savior, and then follow in baptism. Please, please look to Jesus. Trust in the Lord Jesus. Call upon Him for your salvation, to have your sins taken away, and then begin that wonderful walk. And walk each day serving Him. Please, it's so important that you don't miss salvation that Jesus offers you. Don't get mixed up with this baptism. Baptism comes afterwards. What did Jesus do for you to pay for your sins? What did He do? What did He do? He saved you by His death. Gave you life by His resurrection. What are you doing when you're showing this through your baptism? After you're saved, you're saying, Jesus died for me. I believe that. I know that. I'm standing down in the water. I go down into the water. It pictures the death. Coming back up out of the water pictures the resurrection. Oh, what a beautiful picture for a born-again believer. But don't think that saves you. Don't think that gives you some kind of righteousness. Don't think that that's something that has to be done for salvation. No, it is a witness. It's a testimony of what Jesus has done in your heart. And that's the reason back here He calls for the Pharisees and the Sadducees, bring forth therefore fruit meets for repentance. Let's see the change. Let's see what you've done. Let's see what we're doing here. Let's look at a couple verses of Scripture very, very quickly here. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. What a joy! And that's the picture. When we trust in Jesus as our Savior, what a beautiful picture. Baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only time you follow the Lord in baptism is after you've come by faith to Him, so you have something to testify. And you don't do it in the privacy of your home. You do it publicly. Publicly saying, I have repented. Publicly saying, I have turned to Jesus. Publicly saying, I've accepted Him as my Savior, and I'm testifying that I'm a part of His death, burial, and resurrection. And so you show that physically by going down into the water. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?